This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Tribes is the new play opening tomorrow at the Ensemble Theater. It's the story of Billy, the only deaf member of his family, and his struggle to find his identity in his boisterous family. Joining me are director Michael Evan Haney, actor Dale Dimkoski, he plays Billy, and Don Caudill, chair of the Interpreter Training Program at Cincinnati State and American Sign Language Interpreter. And is it Caudill or Caudill?
It's Caudill.
It is Caudill. Okay, got that right. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call us at 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. To start out, I did my best to try to explain the show, but Michael, maybe you can take it from there and take it a little further. What really is the show about?
Well, Nina Raine, who wrote it, talks about how it's about the title, Tribes, how we're members of different tribes in our lives, our families, the organizations we belong to, the cultural organizations, religious communities. And she was led to this play by hearing an interview of a deaf couple who were pregnant, and they were, when asked, they said they hoped their child would be born deaf. And that sort of took her aback for a minute. And then once she started thinking about it, she said, of course, we want to raise our children with similar values, same language. And so that spurred her thought, and she created this wonderful play about, a family that's very insular and who has raised this deaf child as a hearing child. So he lip reads. He has never had anything to do with sign. And he meets a woman, falls in love, and she is from a deaf family, but she's hearing, but she's losing her hearing. And so it gives Nina Raine this wonderful opportunity to explore all the differences in the deaf community and also how strong those pulls of family but also our personal needs have on this character of Billy that Dale so beautifully plays.
Tell us about Billy.
Well, like Michael said, Billy is a young man who born into a hearing family that was raised, quote-unquote, normal, did not learn sign language growing up, and was not a part of the deaf community growing up. And he meets a woman who introduces him to that world, and he finds commonality. He finds, love and a sense of belonging that he doesn't have with his family. And it sets the table for a conflict which ensues.
Now, you have your own personal background that you're bringing to this. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your life and how you can relate to Billy?
Sure. Yeah, I was born, I was diagnosed at age 3 with a moderately severe sensory neural hearing loss in both ears, which basically boils down to having about 60% hearing loss. So I've been wearing hearing aids since the age of 3. And I, too, everybody else in my family had 100% hearing. I was never part of the deaf community and never learned sign language. It was very important for my parents that I acclimate into society and play sports and be involved with everyday things with everybody else and not be treated differently. So that was the emotional hook for me, how I hooked into the character, because I, certainly could relate to being on the outside of conversations and not quite picking up on everything and having to kind of piece things together. And I talk about in the play bluffing. The characters sort of fake their way through conversations by nodding and smiling, and I could totally relate to that.
Well, and that can cause trouble sometimes for you, can't it? I mean, I have an uncle who has hearing aids, and a woman came up and was talking to him, and he was nodding along, and, oh, isn't that nice? And she had just told him that someone had died in her family, and that was clearly not the response. I mean, does that kind of stuff happen?
Yeah, sure. I can recall, having a job as a teenager where, and my brother, older brother, worked at the same, it was a restaurant. And, I was very self-conscious about my hearing aids at that age, and I only would wear one and try to get by with just one hearing aid. And then the woman who was the waitress, who was the manager of this restaurant, told my brother. She's like, I told him something the other day, and he just sort of smiled and laughed. And it was like I was asking him to do something, and he just didn't get it, And for me, it was embarrassing when my brother told me that. I felt really, ashamed, So that in that way, I could totally identify with the characters in the play.
Now, Dawn, in teaching and dealing with sign language and those sorts of things, what have you taken from the play? What do you hope it brings out to people who see it?
I think there's going to be a lot of different feelings and emotions that are going to come from people watching the play. I think that deaf people that come to see it will relate to the character of Billy or even to Sylvia, who is a child of a deaf adult that's going deaf. And also people that love sign language and are learning it either as a student would, you know, really enjoy seeing the actors on stage sign and also seeing the interpreted performances. And I think that, you know, hearing people that maybe hadn't really thought about a minority group and how to include them, maybe hopefully can think out of the box and can, you know, glean some ways to maybe try to think about other people's positions and put themselves in other people's shoes to be able to think about, well, just because I do the things one way doesn't mean it's always the right way.
Michael, as a director in all of this, how did you incorporate the sign language and how do you feel the idea of having, you know, how many shows are going to be signed? Not all of them, right? Or all of
14 out of the 21.
So if people do want to come and are deaf, they will have a sign language. What was that like as a director for you?
Well, it was very interesting having Dale as Billy because he, with his hearing aids in, he can hear. So that, you know, we weren't having to translate or have signed all of the rehearsal stuff. But, you know, what Dawn was really responsible for was teaching both Dale and Kelly, who plays the woman going deaf, neither of them signed. And so Dawn had two students that she had to bring up to speed, and Kelly has been supposedly, as the character, has been signing from birth, you know, so she really
had
to get
fluent.
Yeah, she should be fluent. And I certainly believe it.
Yes, they're doing a fantastic job. They're the two best students I've ever had.
But it's been wonderful having access to Dawn and also to other members of the deaf community who have talked to us about, you know, their experiences. And, of course, having Dale in the room, you know, who's experienced exactly what Billy experienced and who could really help bring me and the other actors up to speed about, okay, how is this behavior? What do we have to look for in this scene? You know, a lot of times Dale would stop a scene and say, I can't see that person, so I can't read their lips. You know, so that has to be accurate because somebody who's deaf watching the play is going to pick up on that right away. And that's something I wasn't aware of. And I think we've all become more aware of, you know, even speaking to Dale about, you know, making sure, you know, our face is pointed toward him, we make eye contact and don't mumble.
Well, do you find that Dale, that people will, knowing that you have hearing loss, and will start speaking louder to you automatically? And do you feel like you're being shouted at? Do you want them to speak normally?
Well, it's an interesting question because with the technology boom in the last decade, I have these digital hearing aids, which you can't see. People don't know now that I have hearing loss. And these digital hearing aids are so amazing.
So they are sort of embedded?
Well, they're all the way in the canal. Mm-hmm. So you really can't see unless you're looking directly inside my ear. And, you know, people won't know that. And it's not something I walk into the room and announce to people. And so these days, I get by. And the technology now, them being digital, whereas in the old days they were, you know, analog. They would amplify all sound. It was always, you know, even though it was having sound amplified, it was still hard to pick up on conversations in certain settings. But yeah,
Do you lip read then?
I do.
Mm-hmm. What about, you know, the people that come to see the show, certainly, as you said, you're having the sign language at so many of the programs. I'm assured that you would want a lot of deaf folks to come to the program. But what do you think the people that are not deaf are going to get out of it as far as just the whole theme of the tribes idea, where everybody sort of joins with people that are like them?
Well, another large portion of the play is it's a love story between two brothers. Between Billy and Daniel. And Daniel is the older brother to Billy, and he's sort of been taking care of him. And I think his whole identity is wrapped up in his being able to take care of Billy. And so when Billy falls in love and is separated from the family, Daniel starts falling apart. And I think it's a really, really great exploration of, you know, family dynamics. I mean, you know, this is a family like no other you will ever see on stage.
Why is that? What makes them so special?
Their language, their ideas, they're very intellectual. They're very argumentative. The father is, you know, close to being a bully. The children are sort of living in the shadow of the parents. There's the use of language. The first scene takes place at a dinner table, and Dale as Billy is sitting in the middle, and there are two arguments going on at the same time, and they're shouting at each other. And it's the whole purpose of the scene is that it's this cacophony of noise, and he's totally left out. And it's that ice, you know, it's a dramatization of the isolation that Billy is feeling. And but the arguments that are going on are not only funny, but obscene and fascinating.
Well, I think that's interesting, too, because when you hear the premise of all of this, it sounds like it has the potential to really be a downer. I mean, you could come out of it just totally depressed and feeling bad and wondering about your own life. And maybe there's some of that that goes on. But it sounds like there's a lot of fun and enjoyment regard also.
A lot
we had
of humor.
First audience last night, and there was a lot of laughter. It's a very well-written piece on many levels, and there's a lot of humor in it.
And it's very, very moving. It's a very positive message, I think, that's being sent. And, you know, it's about that we have to find ourselves. And, you know, the last moment in the play, you know, every time I watch it, it makes me choke up. And because it's about a family finding itself.
Talk about the deaf population in the greater Cincinnati area, Dawn, and their reaction to having a show that perhaps would appeal to them.
Well, I think that, you know, you have different types of people within the deaf community. And I there has been a very positive response, I think, to having this specific type of topic in a play to, you know, to address some of the issues and hopefully some of the resolutions within that isolation that a lot of deaf people feel. So I can't speak for everybody in the deaf community, but a lot of people that I've talked to are really excited about coming and hoping that other people will, you know, maybe think twice about, you know, learning sign language and trying to include some of their coworkers and some of their family members that maybe they couldn't communicate with in the past.
Where do people go as they watch the show, do you think, to find their own comforts? Do you think that they will go home and recognize that, gosh, I really only hang out with people just like me and I don't challenge myself? Do you think it's that kind of message that comes through?
I'm not so sure it's that as much as it's more about self-exploration, wouldn't you say? It's about finding what you need as a human being. And maybe that is expanding your circle of friends. One of the things that Sylvia in the play, who's going deaf, states is that the circle of friends she can communicate with is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And so, you know, in losing her hearing and ability to speak and communicate with hearing world, it's trapping her. Whereas with Billy, when he discovers the deaf community, it opens up a range of people that he has never experienced before and a whole different acceptance and a different life. So for him, it's this wonderful new sea of expansion. And for Sylvia, it's, you know, she's drowning in it.
I find it to be a play about communication. So while the deaf aspect and the sign language aspect of the play is sort of, it's all centered around that. That's the sort of centerpiece of the play. How people that don't have any connection to the deaf community can still enjoy this play is that it's about how we communicate, how we express how we feel. Like Michael was talking about that first scene of the play, these people are yelling and screaming at each other, but nobody's listening to each other. So that's not really effective communication.
We're talking about the play Tribes. It opens tomorrow at Ensemble Theater in Cincinnati. If you have a question or a comment, 513 419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. My guest, director Michael Haney, actor Dale Dimkosky, who plays Billy, and Dawn Caudill. She's the chair of the interpreter training program at Cincinnati State and an American Sign Language interpreter. Do you anticipate a lot of people will want to learn sign language after seeing the show?
I hope so. I love the language, and we already have a lot of people learning it at Cincinnati State and other colleges in the area. And I think there's a lot of people that have been exposed to it maybe at some point in their lives, and maybe this will spark that interest again for some people to be able to learn, especially if they have family members that are deaf or, like I said, coworkers or friends, that this would really be a great way to open up that communication.
I think it's very interesting, just observing the cast, that all the cast members now are doing way more gesturing, and when they talk, they're using their hands a lot more. And some of them, you know, are picking up different signs and incorporating them into their dialogue.
Do you think that that's just common? It just comes, you're not necessarily asking them to do that, right?
Oh,
it's
no,
just
no.
happening.
It's a very expressive language. It's, you know, Dawn is like does it so wonderfully. It's like it's an art form. It's how I see it. And I think for actors who are used to using their bodies physically to tell stories, it's sort of like it sort of comes naturally.
Well, it's a language that's also often used with babies, isn't it? When babies have trouble or toddlers learning to talk, you teach them varying signs. I don't know if it's actual ACL but or ASL, but...
There is a whole movement of baby signing, and they have derived a lot of those signs from American Sign Language, but have had to modify it a little bit for smaller children that don't have the large motor skills yet, but they'll use it because the babies can communicate, they just aren't verbal yet. And so it has lessened tantrums and helped with communication with the small children.
Now, did you have to learn a lot of new words? I hear the play is definitely adult themed, right?
Yes.
You suggest that it's not necessarily for everybody.
No, not for everyone.
18 and up? I mean, where would you?
Well, you know, I hate to put a number on anything. Yeah. You know, some children.
PG-13.
You know, some children are ready for anything at the age of 10, and others aren't when they're 30. So
so just know if you're sensitive to it.
Right. You know, there's very language. Strong language.
Yeah. Did you have to learn how to sign that? I mean, did you know? I mean,
I already knew it. I teach a class on specialized interpreting, which includes, you know, having to interpret for legal issues, doctor's office visits, things like that. So we have to pretty much know it all to be able to interpret it. And so it was just interesting having to teach it to other people.
Is sign language universal amongst other languages, English and Spanish?
Great question.
Unfortunately, it's not universal. Each, just like with languages, you know, if you go over to France, they have their own sign language. And so each country has
their
own sign.
Like, what is, thank you. Is that, my daughter used to know this stuff, but we hand to your mouth.
Yes, thank you.
That's here, yes.
I think that people that are deaf from different countries can communicate more easily with each other than hearing people from other countries because it is gestural, but they are completely different languages.
Oh, and this play is English. You know, it was first done in London, and British Sign Language is totally different than American Sign Language.
Really?
Yes. So you see a video on the websites of from those productions in England, it's the signing is totally different than in ours.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that surprises me. So even within the language, it depends on the culture to some extent.
Yeah. Well, it's different, you know, just like if you speak a different language, you know, there's different sign languages with the different countries as well. So like you said, there's Mexican Sign Language, there's French Sign Language called LSQ. And then, so each of the different countries have their own sign language.
When did sign language originate?
It's been around.
Or
as,
ASL.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Well, it's been around as long as deaf people have been around. Mm-hmm. Actually, interpreting as an organization has been here since 1964, but there's been deaf people in sign language long before that. But it was recognized as a true language in the 70s.
Thank you all for being here. This has been delightful. The show opens tomorrow and runs through...
16th of February.
February 16th.
Hopefully we're looking to extend that.
All right. Well, we'll find out. Thank you again so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking about Tribes, the new show opening tomorrow at the Ensemble Theater. My guest, director Michael Haney, actor Dale Dimkosky, who plays Billy, and Don Caudill, chair of the interpreter training program at Cincinnati State and an ASL interpreter. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.